All right. Welcome back to the podcast. We're here with two of the four hosts, Nick and me, Noah. Sadly, Ashton and Braden can't be here, but hopefully they'll be on the next one. And we're with our three special guests. We have Lizzie, Aislinn, and Thomas. So welcome.
All right, Nick. You didn't clap.
Right. Oh, sorry. You want to kick things
fist
off?
Bumps, because we always do fist bumps before.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming on. All right, so the topic is giving over control to God. When I thought about it, it's giving back control to God in our lives from what we lost in the garden. So we're going to talk about that today. I got some good scripture. So I'm going to start.
Could I actually say something before we start?
Yeah, sure.
So just to clarify, because the first time Nick had talked to me about this, in my head when he said giving up control to God, I thought that meant like, just letting him do everything, but that's not true. Nick has some fantastic scripture here for us. But basically what it's going to mean is devoting yourself to God and then seeing the benefits of that and the effects. So, you have your first piece of scripture?
Yeah, so we're going to start up. I got a lot of scripture that we can reference today.
I think I actually have one too, but I'll let you go through all
yours. Okay, for sure. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will give back to you captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you." So when I read that the first time, what I really thought about is like, one topic everyone always talks about or kind of knows as a Christian or whatever is like God has the plan for you. There's a bigger purpose and everything. That's what everyone always says. But seeing the scripture that actually says that hits me in a different way and makes me realize I need to trust in that plan more and I need to give up control because he has that plan for me and knows what's best for me. And I just have to let it happen. You know, I don't know if you guys got anything from that verse at all. If not, that's fine, we can go to another one.
Well, I mean, I just feel like I relate to that just because like, just like in life, it's so easy to get caught up on things.
Oh,
and like,
sure.
The fact like go with the flow is a saying, like more often than not, like the what that like saying means to me is like going along the natural like rhythm. And like I feel like, you know, God's the one that has things naturally planned out for you, so like you can just kind of tell when you're going with God, like it feels right, and it's easier. It's not like you almost know when you're resisting.
That's a really good point.
Like
you feel more comfortable.
Like it's just easier. You don't have to exert as much. It's like it's just easier. You get to like go down the way God wants you to.
And then when
I think you kind of touched on this like right in the beginning, but like I think like a common misconception, I guess, like God's plan is that like you don't have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like just like if you don't do anything, like that's what's gonna happen, is like God's plan. But like that's not really true.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are if you're doing nothing, you're probably not following God's plan.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of that, like in that, is you have to work towards it and like wanting that greater good, because God's plan is for us to have free will and for us to choose. So if we're not working towards anything, then God's not gonna try to manipulate what's going on in
for
our
sure.
lives. He's just trying to help us. He's trying to guide us in the right direction towards his will, which kind of gets a little cloudy sometimes in, like, people's understanding of that. But, like, at the core of it is that in keeping God at the center of your life, you're able to go with the flow with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to go towards his will, but in making the choices that you want to make.
So are you saying, like, God won't force us to do something, but he encourages us to make the right choice, and that's where our free will comes.
He tries to guide us.
Yeah.
I would want, like, somebody at my church, like, once said something that, like, God's plan is not guaranteed, and that, like, is almost, like, scary, that, like, it's not necessarily, like, if you don't do the right things, that, like, you're still gonna end up where you're supposed to, but it's, like, if you're, as a kid, and you're, like, not praying, or, like, you veer away at some point in your life, like, you could very easily be off of, like, God's plan for you, but if you come back, like, he'll do his very best to get you back to where he wants you to be in the end, but, like, you have to, like, want it, and you have to, like, do it.
I really like that, because it connects to what Thomas said earlier, Because, like, when you're kind of following that plan, you usually know it. Because, like, or when you're not following it and you come back, you look back at all the time that you went away and you're like, what the heck happened? Like, how did that even happen? Like, I've had that happen multiple times in my life where you go through a trial and you just feel like you don't even know God at that time.
Yeah.
And then you come back at the end and you're like, wow, that time in my life really sucked. Like, the time what I spend with God is much better than that time. That's what kind of hit me in looking past. So then if we go to Matt, this is one of my favorite verses, as a Christian. So in Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what they have done. In our faith, I think that's one of the most powerful verses because it really tells us what to do. Because he says, when I come back, this is what's going to happen. And you're going to be accounted for the things that you did for me and the faith that you lived out. And if you choose not to live that out, that's fine. You're living for the world. But what does that mean for your soul? And that really hit me in that verse.
Growing up, one of our pastors at my grade school and at my parish, he always said that guilt is from God and shame is from Satan. So even if you do veer off that path, the gut feeling that you get that's like the guilty version, like that's good. That's what's going to bring you back. But the shame is going to make you like shy away from it and hide from it. So I think that ties in with that really well.
For sure.
I think one of my favorite things about our faith is the cross, because it's a symbol for so many beautiful things. And I feel like I could talk about that for like hours. But one of the things it represents is the suffering, the death, but also the resurrection, right? Like the Paschal mystery. And in that verse, when it says, when Jesus says, like, whoever, you know, like picks up that cross, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that translates a lot to, like, a cross, you know, you think about that as maybe suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And it, sometimes, like, when you suffer, you have to suffer. We mentioned this last week, actually. Maybe it was the week before. But sometimes you have to suffer in order to get, like, to a high point. We talked about, like, a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes you go up, and then you go down.
Yep.
But then you'll go up again. So, kind of like that. And a lot of times, you need those moments of suffering, because in the end, those lead you closer to God. Mm-hmm. Kind of like with the story of Job. Yeah. We bring that up every single time.
Yeah.
But that's just because it's a phenomenal story.
And, like you said, taking on your cross, in that verse, he says before that, denying yourself.
Yes.
Denying yourself. And to me, like, that's like, okay, a lot of people, I think, I don't know if I've said this before, but a lot of people in their lives claim, everyone, like, how many of you times have you heard someone say, oh, God's first, then family, then friends, and then whatever, right? But how many people actually live that out? And that's what it reminds me of. You have to deny yourself sometimes and actually live out what the cross calls us to do. And you were talking about what the cross means and symbolizes, mm-hmm. you know, the resurrection. And then I feel like it's the continuation, like our faith is continued from what the cross did, from what the cross left. I don't know if you guys got anything.
I feel like one thing I love about like the Bible is how sometimes it just like gives you such a perfect like example in itself. Yeah. Like, and it's kind of everything you're talking about, like, makes me think of, like, Simon. Mm-hmm. Like, he denies himself. He doesn't want to help Jesus. He takes up the cross. He suffers with Jesus to get closer to God. Like, it's just so, like, perfect. Just, like, how easily
it goes,
like,
together.
Sometimes, like, you can, like you said, like, you can just read it. And, like, it relates to itself. You see, like, it gives you what you need.
Yeah.
Like, so blatantly obvious. Sure.
And it all connects to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like you said, you were like, you were saying that, you're like, oh, that connected that to mm-hmm. Simon, and you know, and there's other verses, and you connected it to Job and stuff like
it's
that.
Everywhere.
It all connects together, and that's a beautiful thing to me. It shows the power of the scripture.
Also shows that not only that, but the cross itself also unites us, right?
Cause
that's like a very core element
for sure. Religion. And I think it's important in remembering to go according to his plan. We are in his plan, and our plan is to come back to him, to restore what was lost in the garden, that relationship that we lost in the garden with him. And realizing, sometimes maybe analyzing your life and being like, am I doing things that lead me towards God, to, that are pushing me towards, you know, my eternity with him or time with him? Or am I doing things of this world? Am I denying the world, or am I in living for him, or am I living for the world and denying him? And sometimes it's not always, you know, black or white like that, but sometimes it is, you know?
What's that thing you said, like, do you obey God or do you obey the world?
Isn't yes, that you yeah, said? I love that.
I remember hearing that, and I was like, wow. Like, that was one of the things that really just brought my attention.
And the thing is, it's so easy to switch back.
Oh, it's incredibly easy.
It's, or, you know, even in a day you could do it multiple times. You know, we talked about duality before, but, yeah. You know, it's very easy to do, especially in our times in our life. You know, maybe you guys are at college and whatever, we're in high school. There's all that going on. There's temptation of the world everywhere. But, you know, denying that and taking up the cross is hard to do, but what we're called to do. So Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Yeah, does anyone have anything for that?
I mean, I definitely feel like that has, like, held true, like, in my own life. And, like, as you, like, the, like, older you get and stuff, like, the more decisions that you have to make and all this stuff, like, we all just have to decide where to go to college, yeah. And, like, all that stuff, and it, like, seems like it's a really big deal for your future and everything, and it's, like, how am I supposed to, like, make that decision that's gonna, like, very much impact the rest of my life?
For sure.
And it's, like, I can't imagine having done that without prayer.
For sure.
I think that's when, like, you can't expect an answer from God without doing anything comes in. Because if you don't have, like, an aspiration, like, Thomas and Lizzie were both, like, they want to go to OSU because of all these other different reasons, yeah. But the prayer is what got them to that decision. And the same with me and Dayton. Like, you have to have certain reasons to pray about something, and God's going to show you the light to that decision. But without having those reasons or anything backing your answer or any motivation, like, you're going to catch yourself in, like, a cycle of uncertainty.
Yeah.
And God's going to try to pull you out of that, but there's only so much that he can do without stripping away your own decision-making.
You're good. I was going to say, like, honestly, like talking about, like, praying and, like, college and, like, you deciding on Dayton and, like, us deciding on Ohio State, like, I think if I wasn't, like, praying about it and all this stuff, like, I don't think I would have ended up at Ohio State. Like, I don't think I would have realized, like, the signs, like, that was where I needed to go to school, and, like, that was where I needed to be. Like, I just don't think they would have been, like, as obvious to me that that's what I needed to do.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a constant, like, a certain balance that has to be met for you to realize what you need to do versus what you want to do. And that balance is always going to be between prayer and, like, your own decision making.
And that's what we talked about in the past, and, like, I talked to him about this, is when I thought about this topic, I was reminded of the moments in my life where I wanted to do something, but God was telling me something else, and it was a really hard decision to make, but when I chose the thing that God told me to do, it ended up working out beautifully in a way I could never imagine. Kind of the way you guys are describing, it's like when you talk about it through prayer to God and you trust in him, even when it might not make sense. You never thought you were going to end up at OSU, to be honest.
No, and
through prayer, you landed on that. And that's powerful, you know, and it shows the kind of the beautiful mystery on, like, we don't know our plan, but God does, and involving him in that.
And it's like, oh, sorry, I was just going to talk a little bit more on that. Like, and, like, for me, like, I wasn't even going to apply to Ohio State. And, like, it was my parents who, like, made me do it. And, like, I now, like, looking back on it, it's like, that was definitely, like, the start of, like, I wasn't praying about it quite yet, like, or anything like that. And that was, like, the start of, like, God's trying to get that to be the thing. But, like, I easily could have, before it even all started, like, that not even have been an option for me.
Can I say one thing? Cool.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Take
so, when did you realize that? That he was, was that just a now thing, or was that...
I think, like, by the time that I, like, like accepted that like really committed to Ohio State. That was like, it was like I had realized that like this is like all this time like I thought I wasn't gonna go there, like I had all these reasons for liking this school and that school and whatever else, but like in the end like this like was lining up in every correct way. And then even once I got to school, like things just like kept falling into place, so it was like, yeah, like this is where I'm supposed to be.
Kind of gets you back to your point earlier about how things feel right. So Nick, a couple minutes ago, you mentioned how you made a, what was it, hard decision, right? Isn't that what you said? That kind of brought me to something I was thinking about. In the excerpt that you read, was this Proverbs 3:7? It says, "And he will make your path straight." But it doesn't say making the path easy.
No.
And I feel like that's a very vital thing to think about, like something very important is, even if, like, if you put all your trust in God, like, that's not, like, you won't suffer, right? Yeah. I mean, in the end, you'll be rewarded greatly when you get into the kingdom of heaven. But in your time on earth, like, there's no saying that things are going to be a walk in the park. And I actually, going up here, was this book, too, for those who don't submit to the Lord, and their path might not be as straight. Maybe it seems easy when in reality it could be bad. It actually says, the wicked will be cut off from the land. And I feel like that's like a very
scary,
very scary thing to think about. And as Aislinn kind of brought up earlier, she brought up like free will and stuff like that. And you have a choice if you want to be cut off from the land or have, you know, the straightened path. And I feel like that's something you really got to ask yourself. Because sooner or later, you know, that day will come.
That's a reality.
And it is scary, but, like, you have a choice. You always do.
The straight path, but maybe it being hard, connects me to Job. Again.
I wanted to bring that up, but I'm like, a second time would be.
But because he knew what he had to do. He knew that was his path, but, you know.
I was going to say, do you think, like, the straight path is, like, it just helps you see what you need to get to? Like, it's easier to see, and not necessarily making it harder, but like, if you know that you have to work out or do anything, it does not make it any easier, the fact that you know, but you know, like, that's just the difference.
Yes. To me, when you say that, for me, being able to see God in my life, for that straight path in my life, is it's easiest looking back on things and looking back on the things in my life compared to, and where those seem straight, that seem, it all connects together, it all goes together and makes sense. Like, my faith journey makes sense. The way he brought me to him and progressed me makes sense looking back on it. Maybe not in the moment, not especially not in the hard moments. Might be like, why am I climbing up this, you know, very steep hill sometimes, if we're using the straight path analogy, but it gets hard. But I think the whole point is, I try and look at the opposite. If I look back at my life in the time where I wasn't living in faith, or the moments I wasn't living in faith, and looking back at those, the things that happened in my life did not make sense. You know what I mean? They did not go together. They did not weed together, or led me away in a direction that I didn't want to go. And so to me, that really connects to your point. It's like, we can see God's path, for the perfect path for us, especially when you look at the stuff he's done in your life. If you look at, you know, a lot of the blessings you've had in your life, or the, a lot of, like, the topic we did with Christian Kessler, coincidences. That was one of my favorite topics. If you look at all these coincidences that come together at these perfect moments, you might start to realize God in your life.
I think that with, like, the, it might be a straight path, but it's going to be hard. Like, a more, like, I don't know, relatable idea of that, something that I used to always tell the girls on the team was, you have to have bad days in order to appreciate the good ones.
That's one of my favorite things.
So, like, in that, you to appreciate the reward at the end, which is ultimately, like, God and heaven and everything like that, you have to have those struggles here on earth to, like, keep you motivated and keep you pushing for that reward at the end. But that also shows you, like, the good days that you have here on earth, like, that's all because, like, through prayer and through God, like, he's giving you these wonderful blessings here on earth.
Yeah, I really love that, because, again, the big emphasis, I think we're all kind of saying, is that it's not always going to be easy, and it's made easier turning to God, and like we said at the very beginning, giving up control is through that prayer, being like, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this moment. I have no clue what you want to do with this, but I'm giving it up to you. I'm going to let you do what you think is best, because you know best and definitely better than me.
But back to your point, like, sometimes it won't even make sense.
Yeah.
But as long as you trust in God, you know you'll get to the right place one way or another.
Like, I think with, like, you're talking about, like, praying for, like, just, like, letting God, like, do what is best for you and stuff like that. I feel like so often, like, it's really easy to, like, ask God for something in your prayer.
Definitely.
As opposed to, like, just asking for him to, like, guide you to the right thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to ask, like, oh, like, can I please get a good grade, get a good grade on this test,
yeah,
or in this class, or, like, whatever. And it's like, well, maybe that's not really what's supposed to happen. Like, maybe you need to, like, learn from an experience or, like, whatever. And instead, like, this is really, like, I'm really struggling with this. Just, like, please guide me to do what you need me to do with this.
It's a good way of looking at it. And one of our former special guests, Jacob Denae,
yeah,
I mean, he said something that really just, I was like, wow. He said that sometimes before he asks God for something or he thinks about doing it, instead what he does is he takes a step back and he thanks God for something. And what he used was he was at his first, what was it, NFL game, right?
Yeah,
wasn't it a Browns
game?
And they had to make this kick, right?
To win the game.
Yeah. And he thought, he was like, everyone in the stadium is probably praying that, oh, you know, he's going to make the kick, we're going to win, blah, blah, blah. And instead what he did is he's like, you know what, I'm just going to take this step back. And he's like, God, thank you for this great game.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a really good mindset to have.
I think that a lot of people, like myself included, it's like what Lizzie said, when you find yourself praying, it's, God, I need this,
mm-hmm,
rather than, God, thank you for this. God, can you help me find my way to this?
Yeah.
And all these things, like, I know, especially in preparing for Kairos, I was finding myself, like, I need to know what to put in this witness. I need to know how to lead a small group, like, all these different things, when I need to just take a step back and say, thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah.
And, like, I know that especially when I'm, like, praying about an exam or a class or an assignment or something going on in my life, like, that's when I realize I'm, like, I need to take more time just to thank and praise God.
I feel like, can I interject real quick?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say something. But, like, one thing that I always pray for, like, strength for God to do, like, tough things. And, like, you know, sometimes you, like, keep on making the same mistake. Like,
definitely,
you should be just, I don't know why. Why can't I do this?
Yeah.
And, like, I keep on praying God for the same strength, like, time and time again. And then one time I just look back and I'm like, God gave me the strength. I'm misusing it. Like, I shouldn't be praying for, like the guidance or this stuff.
Mm.
It's like God is giving me everything I need. And at that moment, it's like you said, like, you give thanks. But it's also, like, it's almost a wake-up call that sometimes you don't actually need to pray for it because, like, God has given it to you. And, like, you see that in multiple themes. And it's, like, it's your fault. Like,
yeah,
you know. Like, and that's, you
for
have
sure
to give up. Like, that's the thing that I'm realizing. I'm, like, I keep on trying to force in my relationship. I'm, like, God, give me this.
Mm-hmm.
God, do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's already done that. I just can't see it.
And sometimes you have to just be, like, Ashton and I have talked about this, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. Sometimes he'll give you answers that you don't like. And,
yeah,
and then you'll look at it and be, like, You'll pray for it again, but in reality, like you said, he already gave you that answer. It's just,
yeah,
you don't want to take it. You didn't interpret it to be the way he wanted it. And that's the discipline that it takes, and you kind of have to grow in. It takes a lot of time and experiences to grow,
just like
in
with the roller coaster.
Yeah. Like, for example,
callback.
For example, deciding on this topic, you know, I usually pray about the topics, and it was yesterday night, and like five times yesterday I thought about this topic, and I'm like, all right, why is it being presented on my heart so much? I'm like, maybe this is the topic we should go with, because if it's being presented to me so much, then maybe that means something. And it's you have to be open to what he says, no matter what the result could be.
That's true.
For me, like that hard moment we talked about, giving up control is like, I wanted to keep that in my life, but I knew it kept me from God, so I need to give it up. And I knew that the answer wouldn't be something I liked, but it's better to be in relationship with him in the same way. You know, maybe it's in your life already. It's just you have to accept the answer. Same way in studying. Like, I prayed this week. I was about to pray and, like, asked to do well on this test because I didn't study. And I changed my prayer really quickly to be, God, help this lead me to be whatever I need to be in the future. Like, if this is supposed to help me recognize that I need to study for my finals when they come, then have that be. And I think I got the message because I did not do well. But
I feel like it's almost like a cheat, though. Like, mm-hmm. whenever you, like, think about, like, oh, like, I need something, just, like, for me, like, it's become so automatic in, yeah. like, the past couple years that, like, instead of being, like, oh, I need help with this, like, please, and this is the answer I want, like, yeah. okay, forget about what I want, like, just God, like, please guide me to, like, whatever it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, it's just, like, it's, like, a thing that, like, you have to, like, remember before you.
And praying through the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? That's what God calls us to do, because you want to make sure, like, Francis Chan, I remember listening in one of his sermons talking about, he talked about a lot of people don't even, you know, when they go to God and pray, they don't realize the significance of who they're praying to. Like, if you read the scripture verses about what God is doing in heaven right now, where he's sitting, what is going on there, if we truly realize the significance, we'd be very careful with our words. We'd be very careful on what we would ask, if we would ask anything at that point, and if we would just be thankful. And he was like, so when you pray, pray through the Holy Spirit. Don't be quick to ask. Be quick to listen first, and then pray through him. And I think that was something that took a while for me to learn, and I'm still learning.
I was gonna say, do you ever apologize sometimes in
yeah.
prayer?
Yeah,
I do all that a lot. Like, I'll mess up a prayer and, like, oops, my bad, God, can we, like, like, but I was just thinking about that because, like, today, like, I was praying, like, at adoration, and it was just like, you know, my mind, like, I had the message,
mm-hmm.
but then it did not say it in my mind. I'm like, that's my bad. Like,
yeah.
And it's just like, and I ended it with, like, I'll do better, God. Like, that's how I ended my prayer. Like,
I like that.
Something I always do, and it's, like, kind of goofy, but, like, when I was, like, really little, like, I had a teacher who told me that, like, to, like, just, like, pray to God, like, exactly like you're having a conversation with, like, somebody that you know.
No, definitely.
And, like, the older I got, the more I realized just how many people God is having a conversation with
yeah.
at every given moment.
Yeah.
So I started thanking him for his time.
Yeah, that's...
Every time I prayed, which is, like, kind of goofy, but I just like doing it, so
I
do it.
I like that.
Do
you have something?
I was just going to say, a lot of that is, especially with the, oh, sorry for messing up, like, that also goes back to that control aspect. Like,
mm-hmm.
you think that you're in control of it. Like, God knows what you're thinking.
Yeah.
He knows what you want. Like,
yeah.
he knows what you need.
Mm-hmm.
All these things. But, like, it's that control aspect and that human nature to think that you are controlling everything that's going on. But in reality, you're not.
This is going to sound really weird. And I'm about to tell this to everyone. But there was, like, So, like, I've talked about this before. But, you know, one of my, like, things I do in prayer is I'll say, like, three things I'm thankful for, and more often than not, it usually is the same things, which really makes me even more grateful for them. But sometimes, and this is, like, something I just recently did, I just had, like, such a rush of emotion that instead of thinking God's with my words, I was just, like, it sounds weird, but I was, like, God, I hope that, like, you're experiencing what I'm feeling right now, because, like, I was feeling so great, and I was feeling so good. I was like, God, I just want to let you know, like, without my words, like, this is how I'm feeling. And I just took a second, and I was like, I hope you felt what I was feeling. Like, that sounds so weird, but in my head, like, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Give him glory back, you know?
Yeah, and maybe you don't, like, maybe you don't have to do that with your words, but, like, maybe it's through actions or emotions.
Yeah,
like I don't,
like,
even know,
like,
but I just...
What I imagine was, like,
all right, sorry. It's
a lot of the things
here you go,
God. Just acknowledging the fact that you're thanking God.
Yes,
like, it's not
right.
even saying thank you. It's just
the feeling.
Right.
The feeling.
And even that, like, you're feeling so good and you think about God.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's, like, I feel like God knows that you're thinking about him.
It's
and
crazy.
Then it's, like, you know, when you know somebody's thinking about you, it makes you feel good. Like,
yeah.
it's that simple.
Yeah. This kind of off the top, the happy topic, but, there was, like, what was it? I think it was, like, a week ago. I was really stressed out about a lot of things going on in my life. Midterms were coming up. stuff with the podcast. And just, I had a lot on my mind, and I didn't know how it was going to go at all. And I knew I had to pray about it. I'm like, I need to pray about this. And I kept thinking about all the things in my life that I need to pray about.
Mm-hmm.
And later that night, my mom presented me, or not presented me, like told me about our neighbor, who's just one of the kindest people, and has the best soul. He's just a very energetic guy. Has cancer in one of his legs, and is gonna have to have surgery for it and all this stuff. And it was like a whoa. And then I was like, man, like I need to stop focusing on me so much. And then I went upstairs and I heard from my friend that their grandfather passed away. And I just was like, there's so much other things that are going on in this world and that are outside of my life. I should not be worrying about my problems so much. There's so many other things that are going on that I need to give thanks that my problems are the problems that I have that are not, you know, and then pray for the people that I now know are going through harder stuff than me. And so it was a moment, I think God was, you know, calling me out in arrogance, to be honest, and being like, stop focusing on yourself. Stop putting so much importance on everything that you're doing, that it realize that there's other stuff going out there and you should be praying for others as well.
That's a good point. You should talk about your prayer list too.
Oh yeah. So I started doing this prayer list on my notes app. It's getting quite long, and it's been nice because I like spending time in prayer. It's a really good feeling for me, as well as it strengthens my relationship with the Lord because it's spending time. But the amount of time I spend in prayer grows every day because of this prayer list that helps me to remind me of the people I need to pray for. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever been like driving or you see someone homeless or something that makes you feel really sad and you're like, I need to pray for that situation?
All the time. I'm not trying to make myself sound better.
No, I agree.
All the time.
And sometimes you don't feel like praying in that moment, or sometimes you're like, something that prevents you from praying in that moment, right? Maybe you're in the middle of a conversation. I add it to my list, so then when I pray at night, I can pray for that person. And other things, like I've had people that have been at, like when people are like, oh, pray for this, or pray for me, or pray for, and sometimes, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, someone's like, pray for me, and then you're like, yes, I will, and then you forget to, you know? And I hate doing that, but people have been asking me to pray for, like, these seniors now this year, trying to decide on college and all this stuff, and they've been asking me for that, and different people for, you know, family stuff, and it helps me remind and continue to pray for those things past just maybe one prayer for them. And I think that's been a good thing that God's put in my life.
Back to what you were saying before, like, I had a similar experience with, like, instead of just focusing on, like, the issues and things that I think are high stakes in my own life right now, like, when you called me and asked me to be on this, like, I had just found out, like, my dad was just telling us right before my mom got home that our family friend had passed away in a car accident, and, like, just realizing, like, this impacts so many other people more than it does myself. Like, this man had been in my mom's choir for the whole time that she had been the choir director, and my godmother's best friend. Like, there are so many more, like, impactful ways that he has made other people's lives, and just, like, realizing that there are so many other things going on in the world than, like, just my own feelings and my own, like, my own, like, thoughts and everything like that, and just realizing that God has a greater purpose for everything. And I'm a big everything happens for a reason type of person, and it's not saying, like, everything is happening for a good reason, but everything happens to lead people to that good reason that is God.
That topic is not everything happens for a good reason, and it might not feel like that in the moment, and especially the topic of death, like, that's a big thing for a lot of people. It's like, why did God take them away from me? Why did he take away this person so fast, or he cut their time short, or whatever, right? And this is, you know, for me, when going over my testimony, because I've been beginning to write it out, and I realized that I started to know God in a personal way through the death of my grandmother. And I didn't know that in the moment, and I went through a lot of pain and suffering in that moment, but I look back 3 years later, and I'm like, God used that for something I couldn't even imagine. It's using, and like intense emotions and situations, that's the time that you might turn to God the most. You know what I mean? And so he uses it in unique ways, and it's giving up that control and realizing that, hey, there might be things that might not happen. Like, I could die speaking right now. That'd be horrible, obviously. But if it was doing the thing that I love and doing it for God, you know, it's a blessing that he gives us every breath. Like Francis Chan does this thing in his sermons where he when he goes up on stage, there'll be sometimes that he'll just take a few breaths and he's like, God, if you take away any of those breaths and I die on the stage, good. Because I know it'll impact all these people in such a way. And I'm like, that takes a lot of power to say and a lot of giving up control to be able to recognize that.
So back to your point, like with your grandma passing 3 years mm-hmm. ago, and then I know you've talked about this way more in depth before, but and you believe that brought you closer to God inevitably, yeah. right? And I know I've talked about this before, and I'm sure you can guess it already, but that's like one of my favorite things is that when things change, love intensifies. That's what James Parisi talked about at church maybe a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. But like, and a good example of this might be, for instance, with the death of someone close to you. And an interesting thing to think about is that no matter what you feel, you just have to remind yourself, God felt that too. Because he sent his only begotten son for us. And he knew that his son was going to die. Jesus knew that he was going to die. And yet he still died for our sins. And I'm sure God was feeling the same things that we do. If not, way more.
Yeah.
But with the death of his son, Jesus, you know, that conquers sin. And that's when the love intensifies. And I feel like, you know, that's another one of those roller coasters right there, is that moment where you're really down
yeah.
and then the roller coaster goes up, and that's like when those things change.
Yeah.
You know, you might not realize it at the time, but that love intensifies and it always will.
Look at like the agony in the garden. Like
mm-hmm.
it took so much like strength for Jesus to give up that control.
Yeah.
That was sweating point. Blood. Like,
yeah.
Just look at the reality of that. And it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect point.
That is like definition of like.
Yeah, I was like, oh my, that's perfect. All right, I'm going to get to our last passage. Yeah, okay. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Again, words that stick out to me there, do not conform to the pattern of this world.
Mm.
And then his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That just really, really sticks out to me. And it also says, then you will be able to test and approve what's God's will. Because I think we can all agree now, it's because of the stuff God has done in our life, these intense moments that he's shown himself to us, that we're like, God, I trust you now. I give up that control because I know you're going to do something better than, at least for me. Especially in that moment where I had to give up the thing that I really loved, is like, I did it because I trust God so much. I would not have done that if I wasn't in the spot that I was in that moment, but that's where his will is perfect. That's where, you know, his path is perfect. If you're following him.
I mean, he's definitely the best planner out there. I mean, like, if you think about it, the Earth is, what, 4.5 billion years old, right? And all of that led up to now. And yeah. before that, the universe was 13 billion years old?
Yeah.
It's, like, three times.
He takes time, too.
That's he takes his time. And everything, Aislinn mentioned this, you know, coincidences, you've mentioned this. Everything happens for a reason, whether that's, you know, good or bad. But
yeah.
all of that leads up to where we are now.
Yeah.
And, like God, the stuff he chooses, if he chooses something, that's probably the best time for it. And if you see something in your life, just know that's God right there.
One thing I think that's just like really interesting is just it's so tough because like the way the world is, that like you have to think about like material things even if you don't want to. Like I was walking down the street like with my friend, and like we got stopped by a homeless person, and I didn't have any cash on me, but he stopped and he gave him like 10, and I was like, wow, like even if I had cash, I like 99% sure I wouldn't have done anything.
Yeah.
Just because like, you know, you're like, you just raised to like guard certain things, and mm-hmm. I'm like,
like, just giving it up. Like, at the end of the day, you don't know what they're going to do with that money. But if you can help them, like, you are giving them the option to help themselves. And if they don't take it, that's not you. But, like, it's just, like, really interesting. Because, like, I'm very, like, cautious about that sort of stuff. Like, you just have to think materially. But, like, I just think about all the times you have to do, like, almsgiving and stuff like that. And it's, like, I don't know. I feel like I should be way more giving of what I have. I don't really, I don't even use it. Like, truth be told, like, I don't like a lot of stuff. Like, I don't like material things already.
It's
like,
so hard getting gifts for him. You guys have no idea. It's been like that for like 5 years, but he just does not want anything.
I just don't. And it's like, but I have this stuff that I like, I don't know. I feel like I could do a lot with it.
Yeah, I feel like, especially like, I don't know if you felt this way, but like living in Columbus now and like seeing so many more people like than I would here at home, because like I'm walking everywhere and like and there's people like on campus who like just like you can tell like need help, but it's like, I'm just a college student. Like, I don't really know what else to do other than, like, maybe give you a couple bucks if I have them or, like, stuff like that. And it's just, like, I feel like in like, at this point in our lives, like, even the desire to, like, want to help people is, like, you're already 10 miles ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. I feel like one thing, though, like, my dad mentioned this. We were helping out at a food distribution and, like, there's a lot of families that, like, need help, that need food. And one of the things, he'll, like, he'll talk to him. He treats him like a human because, like, and that's, like, such a valid thing is, you know, at college, how many people will not treat you human? Just walking
by. Yeah, they just walk past. And,
like, that's, like, the one thing you can give that, like, everybody should have. Like, at the end of the day, you should have, like, just that little respect. Like, just talking to him, just giving him, like, have a blessed day, Merry Christmas, just... I think it means a lot, especially when there's so many people out there that make, like, they go out of their way to put people down.
I, at school, like, at Dayton, Dayton's a very poverty, I don't know how to say it, poverty-ridden, like, area. Like, there are so many homeless and, like, there are a lot of people with a lot of struggles in Dayton, and you take one step off of campus and you realize that, like, campus is, like, it's not completely, like, set away from downtown Dayton. It is in downtown Dayton, but it's such, like, a sheltered area, almost. Like, the school owns the neighborhoods around it, and that's where the students live. But you step onto Brown Street, and one side of Brown Street is campus, and the other side is just like any other downtown area. And I go to the St. Vincent de Paul down there to help and do, like, service projects and everything, and you just see the joy in the kids' eyes when they want to play with you or when they get, like, a new football to play with, like, on, like, in the yard and everything. Like, there was one day that we were down there, and there was a mental health awareness day, and they had gotten a grant to get a bunch of new toys for the kids to play with, and we were there. It was me and my friend David and Colleen and a few others, and then some people from another school, I think, and we were all there playing with the kids, and you could just, like, see, like, when the kids realized that they were getting new things, like, just, like, see, like, the joy in there, not for the materialistic aspect of it, but they were just joyful to play with people and, like, play, like, an actual game rather than, yeah, like, it was, like, the entirety of it. It wasn't just, like, the fact, like, oh, give me this, like, I get this, but they were happy to share the experience with each other. I don't know if that makes sense. Explain, but
it's kind of the story I thought about, it was like when Noah was praying and, like, was like, oh, God, this is how I feel, you know what I mean? Like, that's how they get the kids are. Okay, the what goes wrong with the topic of giving that you guys are talking about, again, another Francis Chan sermon I was too. Again, I recommend listening to his stuff. And his topic about kind of actually exactly in this giving up control, he calls it dying to self. And he was talking about how he made a lot of money through his book. But when God put on his heart to make this book about his testimony, because he's had a crazy hard life. Again, look up his story. But he made a lot of money from it. And he said to God when he made it, that this is all going to go to him, right?
That's awesome.
And so he gets There's a few stories of him being very generous with his things. He drives not great car, but he bought this newer car with some of the money, and then bought a house with some of the money, and then gave it all back. And then, but he talked about how he God put on his heart that, and this is something that I took away. You know, a lot of us view ourselves as owners of different things. I'm the owner of my phone. I'm the owner of, you know, my car, whatever it may be in your life. And he goes, really, you're the manager of that. God is the owner of it. And he's like, but God allows you to manage it. And he's like, but you should be managing it in the way the owner wants it. The same way in a business. If you're going to be a good manager, you're going to work for how your boss wants it to be used. Right. He goes, so me as a good man, he's like, I want to be a good manager to my owner, right? He's like, so my car, he's like, if someone needs my car more than me, I got to pray to God and say, hey, if this person truly needs it more than me, they can take it for the week. If someone needs my house more than me, they can have it for the week. And he accounted two different stories about one with his, one with his truck. And then the second one was his house. And the house one really stands out to me because this man just got out of prison, had nothing to his name, but had just turned to God, just became a Christian, very new to everything. And he comes and asks Francis for help. This dude has eye tattoos. He has tattoos everywhere and has eye tattoos that say
Post Malone like that.
Yeah, but his eye tattoos say F-U on them. Like, well, not obviously not F-U, but the actual words F-U. And that was because he wanted when he died for that to be the last message. And so he comes to Francis after making this conversion. He's like, I want to be different. I want my life to reflect God. And he comes up, and Francis goes to his family, tells them about the person. And he goes, I need to pray about this. And his wife was like, yeah, let's pray about it together. Next thing they know, the next day, they let him stay for the next 2 weeks in his house.
Crazy.
2 weeks living with them, eating with them, all this stuff. This man ends up becoming he was a member of the council of Francis Now Church and is one of the best priests in the church. And that became just because Francis did a good job of managing what God owns. And if he wouldn't have done that, maybe that man would not have been where he was supposed to be. And that's where it's like you have to give it up because mm-hmm. it doesn't only impact you, it impacts others. Because say, for instance, we didn't do this podcast sometimes when we don't want to. Maybe sometimes when, there's been some times that I've gotten a phone call and I don't want to stay up and talk to that person. You know what I mean? Not any of you.
Not last night.
But there's been times, but it ends up being a faith conversation. I end up losing sleep about it, and the next day I'm drowsy. But it was for the benefit of the other person, as a benefit of their faith and the relationship with God and the glory of God, and that's what matters. And that really stuck out to me in what Francis' stories portrayed. And it's something that most people, when they hear about that, they're like, "That's crazy! Like, there's mm-hmm. no way I would ever do that." And it's the same way when he came back from, sorry for so many stories, but he came back from Africa after seeing how poor they live. And he immediately tells his wife, he goes, we have to downgrade our lifestyle. I need to send more money over there. They immediately downgrade their house. They sell that new truck and they're driving their, I think at the time when I heard the sermon was 2019 and they're driving their, 2007 Jeep. That barely works, right? He downgrades his full lifestyle. This man's a millionaire, you know what I mean? Gave it all away, downgrades it, just so those people that he doesn't even get to see the people that he's benefiting, but he knows it is benefiting someone, and putting that faith.
I think, talking about, like downgrading your lifestyle and, like, your money and stuff, like, I know a couple people who have, decided to, join the Jesuits, and, like their big thing is that the Franciscans both of them they're really big in
downgrading
and you only get x amount of money and you only get x amount of belongings and x amount of space mm-hmm. and but all of your stuff it's your necessities to do what God wants you to do. Like, you don't get things that you just want to have fun or whatever. Mm. It's all everything is, like, the necessities that you need to, like, help bring people closer to God and bring yourself closer to God.
For sure.
One thing, I just think about, like, you're talking about, like, the managing and, like, how he's the owner. That really makes me think of the one parable Jesus talks about where the owner of the, like, farm or whatever, leaves, and he leaves, like, three tenants in charge of, like, his thing. And, like, the way that I know it, I'm good. But the way I think of it is, like, there's, like, three guys. There's the one that, like, does nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, oh.
Are we talking about the talents?
Yes. Yeah. That's the one.
Like,
that's
so,
a great
and
one.
And then the guy talents. That invests it. And it's like, that's God giving you your body. He wants you to invest in it to make it better to, like, because it's God's. Like, he wants you to do better.
Yes. And you have the choice if you want to do something with that or do nothing with it.
And
right?
You're the manager. Like, and that's the thing. Like, the guy thought he'd be okay because he's like, hey, I didn't do anything, like,
bad.
But he didn't do what...
He didn't do anything.
Like, what the owner would have done.
I have a little story here. It can be related to a lot of things, so... But have any of you heard the story of the widow's offering? You might have heard it, but it might make more sense. So basically, I'll just read it. It's only two paragraphs, which sounds like a lot, but... Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. So she puts in very little compared to these people who are throwing a lot of stuff, right? Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So, at first, you might look at this and say, like, Jesus, that makes no sense. She puts in a few cents while everyone else puts in hundreds, maybe even 1,000 of, like, all of this. Yeah, all these coins and stuff, right? But that's all she has. And she gave everything she had, like, up to God, right? All those people. So, what this is saying is, like, some people, maybe they... It feels like they do more or they pray more or they're doing all these things, saying all these things. But if they're not giving everything up to God, they're not, like, you have so many excerpts about this, right? Yeah. Like, they're not submitting to God fully, then that doesn't mean anything compared to the person who maybe they don't have a lot, but they put in everything to God. And that's exactly how we should live as Christians, right? Like, an example would be Francis Chan. He's making millions, right? And he's kind of a combination. He has a lot, but he's giving a lot of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he really is giving the majority of his stuff.
Yeah.
So.
The way I view it is, like, there's, like, a double meaning. There's the percentages. Like, you know, they could be so much, they're only giving 10% or whatever. But the way I also see it is, it's also, like, their status in life. Like, Francis Chan, if he suddenly became, like, destitute, he wouldn't change his ways. He would still give. He would still, like, and I think that's the thing, like, that no matter what happens, you should always, like, you know, even in a bad situation, you're always gonna be, like, you know, you should always do what you should do.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter that you're poor and, like, oh, now I can't afford it. Like,
you gotta be all in.
Yeah.
And you gotta be all in what God calls you to do, because he might not be calling you to throw all your money to him. You might be, but it's in the way, like, a lot of people, oh, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough this. It's like, God's maybe he's calling you to give up more time to him, you know, devote more time to him.
And there's a lot of people, and this is great, like, if you have the time to spend, and you can go to adoration for hours on end, or, like, you can spend an hour every single day in adoration, that's wonderful. But in relation to it, if somebody is driving home from work and they have a packed schedule and they just take that 5 minutes to stop in those, even in the parking lot, and just say a quick Hail Mary, and then go on, like, you can look at it from both sides. Like, it's great in both ways. Everybody is making that time to pray, but in reality, who's taking that time out of their already packed schedule to give?
I remember, like, at my church, we do adoration for, like, a couple days straight, like, and
Eucharistic devotion.
Yeah, like, and thank you, I forgot your name. But, like, the weekend before we, like, do that, our, like, pastor, like, in his, at the end of his homily, will be like, and we're doing this week. And he was like, and, you know, if you can spare an hour of your time, like, great, please sign up for an hour, like, a holy hour. If you can only spend 30 minutes of your time, that's fine, come for 30 minutes. If you can only spare 15 minutes, that's fine. If you can only spare 5, like, that's fine. If you can't even spare a single minute of your day, he was like, you can drive down the road and, like, the, we have clear glass doors and you can roll down your window and wave in and say a quick glory be and be on your way. Yeah. And he was like, but, like, you can come here for, like, at, like, a split second of time to, like, be in the presence and be at adoration.
Yeah, growing up, my dad, there's a chapel at Queen of Heaven, which is, like, right by my house, that growing up, every time we passed Queen of Heaven, my dad would drive through the parking lot right past the chapel growing up every single time. And now it's just a habit. It's not even a habit. It's something that I just want to do.
Yeah.
That every time I pass Queen of Heaven, I drive through the parking lot just to pass the chapel each and every time. And I just, like, I think it's just so cool that my dad instilled that in all of us when we were growing up.
For sure. And that's something that, like, you're like, why is he doing this in the moment? But now you look back and you're like, oh, God had a purpose in that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Noah brought up this verse, Psalm 62, verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. If you're going through something where you feel like you don't have anything else, you might be by yourself, may feel lonely or just going through some type of hardship, going through that refuge, using God as your refuge is something that can be very powerful, and trusting in him is something that, I, in my opinion, is the best thing you can do in those moments. For me, when I've been at my lowest, when I've been in my loneliest, he always takes something and puts it in my life. Or it might make me wait a while, or might make me earn it, but eventually it comes. I will be, you know, 100% honest, every single person in this room, the way I met them, I believe it was through prayer, because God knew I needed them. The common prayer I pray is, God, bring the people that are going to lead me to you and be good in my life, into my life, and take people that aren't, you know, maybe remove them from my life or take a back seat in my life. And in a time that I was super, super lonely was before I met you guys, before, you know, he joined Payload last year. And it was, that was at a very low point in my life where I felt like I was very lonely. I had nothing else. But I put my trust in God. I'm like, God, I know you have something better for me. And next thing I know, I ended up with relationships that are the most beautiful relationships I've had. And I genuinely believe that will last me for my life. And it's just a purpose that that pain and suffering makes it so much greater. And it was like God was having me wait because he knew the extent of the greatness he was going to bring into my life.
I think it's like,
that's how it is.
I think, like, the one thing about, like, that, because, like, that's, like, a really common, like, verse, and, like, being, like, God's our refuge and everything, like, I think it's hard to, like, in the moment when you are, like, going through a trial or, like, you're, like, suffering in whatever way, it's really hard to, like, just, like, ask God for help and, like, you know, like, put your all in God, because, like, a lot of times you feel like, like, we talked about this earlier, like, why is God doing this and, like, whatever. And it's, generally speaking, it's not God. It's things of this world that, like, are, like, you know, the cause of our suffering. But, like, everybody talks about, like, oh, but, like, God's plan, like, God can do whatever. And, like, why won't he help me, you know, whatever. Like, but he's always there to, like, as our refuge, to be our, like, support and everything. And you just have to, like, kind of take a step back and remind yourself of that.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
I'll just go after you.
No, go.
Okay,
go.
So I, like, literally just had this thought right before you brought it up, because I was just thinking about that, and then, like, that's, like, the perfect, like, but that's, like, the perfect thing. I just had, like, this memory of, you're talking about, like, you don't know, like, just about, like, the time that you give, and I feel like sometimes you don't have a lot of time and you can ask for it, and, like, my memory was, like, when I got robbed that one day in Akron, oh my gosh, that story, like, awful. And I was just driving, and I held up, like, I didn't cry or didn't, like, get mad or angry in front of my coworkers, but I was just driving, and I didn't know where. I ended up in a Cantara's parking lot.
Oh.
And I just put the seat back, and I just let it all out for God. Like, I was
crushed because my family's not at my house. I'm in the middle of an awful work week. Like, it's plus 100 hours. I just got robbed, and I confronted the robber.
Oh, man.
And it just, like, it was just awful, awful. And I was just, like, giving it up to God. And I didn't have enough time. They gave me, like, 20 minutes to myself. And I just didn't have any time. And then I got a call, and my boss said, hey, Thomas, like, I have a special job for you. Like, could you go pick up the pizza? We'll get, like, the other stuff. So I'm like, oh, perfect. Like God gave me a way out. Little did I know I had to pick up 100 pizzas, and it was every single part of my car. It smelled like pizza forever. But, like, that day, like, I fit in the pizza, and, like, just my GPS not working, and I was driving in downtown Akron, and, like, it was wild because it didn't matter. It didn't matter all the bad stuff because, like, God helped me.
Yeah.
And, like, I love that day, like, out of that work week, that memory, like, just the people I met there. Like, I met two guys that played football.
Yeah.
Like, for college.
Yeah.
And, like, we were just talking, like, it was just cool. A lot of people came up to me, and, like, obviously, like, they didn't know I had such a bad day, but, like, they did. And it just, like, honestly.
Not coincidence. I was just about to say
that.
Maybe
like
that wasn't
like
a coincidence.
I just don't know if my day would have
been like that.
Yeah, like, it just.
It took a 180.
It really did, because it was, like, that was the worst I felt in a recent time.
Thomas just gave, like, a perfect example of it, but I think it's crazy how you get those coincidental calls, or, like, somebody just, like, shows up, and you run into somebody, and it's, like, exactly what you need to turn your day, your week, your month, your year around,
yeah,
and that just, like, causes so many different things. Like, how many times have I been sitting, like, in my room, and I get a call from my mom just to check on how my day is? Like, it's crazy how many times that happens, and then that's just, like, what changes the day. Or I get a text from one of my friends that just says, like, hey, I hope you have a wonderful day. Like, it's just, it's, I don't know, it just overwhelms me with joy that, like, you get those things, and it just turns your whole day around. Yeah.
I,
wait, real quick, I also want to specify, it doesn't always work out. Like,
no.
You know,
yeah.
Like,
no.
This was, like, a few coincidences. Like, later that week, a guy broke the golf cart key and blamed me. Like, it wasn't me. But, like, you know, it was just rough.
But in that, like, hard moment.
But it didn't matter.
Like,
yeah, because, like, that's the thing.
That,
like,
was an extreme. Yeah.
It, like, I feel like sometimes God fulfills you for longer
yeah.
than you think. Like, just that grace. Like, you'll feel
yeah.
it, and it's there.
I have, I don't know if it was last week. I think it was last week. Maybe this week. I don't know. It's been a blur. But,
my job sucked. I was just thinking about that, man.
Yeah, yeah, you stayed
oh
with it.
Yeah.
The opportunity to quit.
Every sign pointed to you.
Was there anyone?
It was not a sign. It was not
Thomas,
like.
Every time we saw you, you just talked about how terrible it was.
Yeah.
But maybe you had to go through it to realize.
You have to take up that cross to
now
get to where you are now.
Not to get a job.
Yeah. So, talking about, like, those little things, the little moments.
Passion's favorite things.
Yeah. Last week, I mean, this week, whenever it was, in a time that I was feeling lonely, it's kind of a reoccurring thing in my life that sometimes I'll feel lonely.
So sorry.
No, not like that, but it's just like, and well, that's where God has been the best for me, is because, like, I don't feel as lonely with him. Nowhere near it was, like, how it was 3 years ago before him. But still, like, every once in a while, everyone feels lonely sometimes. And Kevin Hart texted me. I wake up to a text to him the next day. I had a really rough night, went to bed kind of angry, whatever, kind of frustrated with everything. And there was no answer that night. I go to bed, wake up to a text that he sent me at like 11:30. So by the time I was already in bed or already asleep, telling me how he loves and appreciates me, and you know how you know like all the stuff that was. It was a very, very sweet text that I really treasured and appreciated. And he probably had no clue that
what
it meant.
How
what I was going through and how much it meant to me. And it's like, he didn't know that, but he did obey God in that moment. And by him obeying God, he made my day better and made my situation better and made me realize that he is there.
So I had a similar experience with the text you sent me while I was at school. I was having, like, I was so angry with my roommates, and I was, like, I was in, like, a horrible mood. I had a really bad day of classes, and I remember, like, I went into the bathroom, was, like, getting ready for bed, and I came back out and I checked my phone, and I had this super long text from you about, like, how you missed me and, like, how you appreciated me and all this stuff, and it just, like, made, like, the rest of my week, like, so much better.
I'm glad.
Low key, that made me sorry. I just had a like quick interjection. Like, I had like literally one of the only, I think it was the only bad day I had at college. Like, it was early on, and it was just stuff like, I found out there's an ice cream machine. I went to use it. It blew up on me. I was in front of like a lot of cool people. Really embarrassing.
Cool kids.
So like, it was just,
it wasn't
not
Thomas's fault. It happens every day.
Yeah, I did not. Shout out Mike Rocket. Anyway, but shout out to Xavier Vesco. He gave me one wave. That was it. Oh my gosh, turn my day around. Like, sometimes you just need.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, I was probably like, oh, man, college. Ah. And then Xavier's like, hi, Thomas. I'm like, he knows me. I'm like, I don't even, like, he probably doesn't. He probably just recognized my face. But, like, I didn't care, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
it's,
and then it just,
bit.
It was better. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's crazy how, like, that was the only bad day. And, like,
mm-hmm.
Shout out to Xavier once again.
And Xavier didn't need to do that. I didn't need to send that text to Lizzie. But it's obeying those thoughts that you're like, like, backstory behind that. I was sitting there. I needed to go to bed. My homework didn't get done, so I needed to wake up early in the morning, go in and do my mine. But I had stuff going on in the morning, so I needed, yeah, it's, I needed to go to bed at that moment. But I was like, you know what? I need to make time to show appreciation to my friends. I ended up staying for another 2 hours. I dragged the next day, like really bad. But, and my grades probably dropped before it. But the thing is, I obeyed God in that moment because he knew Lizzie going through something needed that text. I know I also sent a text to Matthew Gomez that night, and he told me how much he needed it, and a few other people, and I was just...
Did I get a text?
Yeah, you did
okay,
get a text.
I didn't get one. Oh, that's because we see each other.
Yeah, yeah, I see you every day.
Sure.
I'm sick of you. You get a sick of you text.
Wow.
I'm joking. But...
he does send me those every once in a while.
But, it's, and no, to me, it's those, like, back to the coin story, is like, I really wanted to go to bed. I was so tired. Like, it was so tempting to go to bed, but I still gave up a little bit more. And it makes me happy to know that, like, and looking back on God's perfect plan for everything, how he makes everything go together perfectly, that he did make it go together perfectly in that night, even though I couldn't understand how it would. The same way Francis Chan can't understand how his money that he donated and downgraded his lifestyle and made his life harder for others' lives to be easier. He doesn't know how that's going to happen. He just trusts that God's going to make that happen.
Well, and then it's like a domino effect. And you send that text, it makes an impact on that person. You know that it made an impact on that person. It makes you happy, too. Like,
yeah.
It's just a domino effect,
sure.
Of how everything...
For sure.
Lays out, and
that
then
person's happy, the people around them are happy.
Exactly, and then like, if you know that your text made an impact, then you're more willing to send more of
ooh,
those.
Ooh,
and
kind
show
of boomerang.
Your appreciation.
Remember that?
Yes,
I showed you that video.
That.
Basically, one good action, you know, like
is
a
that
boomerang.
From the St. Hilary?
Yes.
Really?
It is from
oh.
St. Hilary. But I showed.
I think everyone's seen it. It's like 10 billion views or something ridiculous.
Like 26 million. But I showed it to like Mike and Ashton.
No,
not the same. Oh, Thomas was in the St. Hilary one. We did that at our grade school.
Third grade, baby.
No, it was like seventh grade.
Seventh grade, baby.
But basically the premise, like the idea is that, you know, I could do something like, maybe I'll offer Nick some cheese when he's hungry and that'll make him, you know, feel good. And then that action of generosity, Nick will then, you know, see Lizzie and give her this pillow, and then Lizzie will feel great and, I don't know, give Aislinn like $20 or something like that.
Oh,
we don't have to do that,
I'm
but like,
really
like I don't know. And then Aislinn gives Thomas like that pillow, and then Thomas gives it to me, and then I'm really tired and I'm like, oh, I have this pillow and I can take a nap. And it's kind of like, not that you should do things in hopes to get a reward, but like, if you
happens.
Do good things, eventually,
you will be rewarded.
You'll be rewarded up there, and that's the ultimate
that's
goal.
True.
So,
sorry, can I?
There you go.
A lot of people don't realize this. I wish I had the scripture to pull it up, but in heaven, there are rewards. Like, there,
yeah,
people will be rewarded differently in heaven. Isn't
that
crazy? The Bible literally talks about when you get into heaven, the people that did more for him, that did different things for him, they will be rewarded more.
Class system.
You know what I mean? And that's crazy to me.
Well, like, you think about how many homilies or gospels have you heard it in, and it's whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you've done for me.
Oh,
like,
I love that
in
one.
Everything that you do, and in every way that you praise God, like, and you're in a conversation with somebody else or you're doing something for somebody else, you're doing that for God.
Yeah.
Like, in reality, you talking to somebody is showing that you see Jesus in them.
Yeah.
Like,
I love talking about service. I could talk about it all day long. But, like, I just feel like that's, like, the, like, that, like, serving others and, like, helping others is, like, your first form of, like, showing them that you care about them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And, like, that's all God really wants for our, like, earthly lives, is that we, like, make connections with other people, and we, like, spread love, and, like, we love each other, and we care about each other, and, like, you know, just, like, Hakuna Matata and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't say that right, but you know what I meant to say. And, like, you know, like, peace and harmony and, like, all that, like, that's truly, like, what God wants of this world.
Well, one of the first things that you learn as a kid is sharing is caring. Like,
mm-hmm.
That works in so many other aspects than just sharing your cranes with somebody else.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
If you're just sharing your joy with spending time with somebody, that's showing that you care about
maybe
them.
Giving it back to God and going,
You know, that's, like, there's a lot of ways that you can show your love to God through words, actions, emotions. And that's just something I learned, like, a few days ago.